6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Get your certified Piedmontese beef, common fans. It's football season. It's still warm enough to be out there on the grill. And Certified Piedmontese has everything you could want, from burgers to steaks to ribs to beef bacon, beef brats, all the stuff. And Common Fan listeners know you can now get 25% off Certified Piedmontese beef going to cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. You can also stop by your local Mercado butcher shop if you maybe you're on the way to the game. Maybe you're on the way to a tailgate, maybe a potluck. Stop by your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha. Geoff loves potlucks in Lincoln or Omaha, and you can get all the fixings, all the cuts, all the fresh beef, but also hot food ready to eat at the Mercado butcher shop. So you got to check those out as well. One more time, cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN. Live it, love it, eat it. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our brand new website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. Their team was very responsive and delivered high-quality work. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Friend of the program, Evan Bland is back. Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald here with another edition of You from the Bland Stands. Evan, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. The view is good. Maybe not so good, depending on... if we're just talking about the results of Friday, but no, hanging in there. I can't believe we're a third of the way through the regular season. I mean, you talk about how fast things go. Yeah. Here we are. It's unbelievable.
I'm moving.
I said that today, actually. I just can't believe it. It's already this far into it. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of sad, but that's all right. We got a lot of football left.
There's a lot left.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Evan, why can't Nebraska fans have nice things?
Oh, I don't know that we have enough time to talk about that. No, it's, it was something, wasn't it? Like it felt like something right out of 2021, 2022, 2023, you know, pick your year. There was a moment toward the end when it went into overtime on Friday night. I was like, man, wouldn't it be appropriate for Nebraska on the night that it celebrates 400 consecutive sellouts for it to end its losing skid against ranked opponents and to end its futility in overtime, which it, at that time had been 7 straight losses, no points. And of course that extends to 8. And none of it comes true, right? Like the streaks endure. That was sort of the theme of the night. And maybe Illinois is good. Maybe, you know, maybe Illinois goes to Penn State and competes this weekend, and who knows how we view that game in a month. But man, yeah, that was a game that I know a lot of people counted on Nebraska winning. I thought they would win. I thought they would cover. I mean, they were what, 9-point favorites or whatever it was. And it didn't happen. So I'll remember that game as sort of the outlier in how we view Tony White's defense the last year and a half. I mean, it's been that piece that you could count on. And in a weird turn of events, this time it wasn't.
So Evan, on that note, we're not panicking here. We're not overreacting here, but does the loss to Illinois change expectations for Nebraska's season? And I don't mean, like, we talked about this on our game, our post game or our game recap episode. Like, we saw a lot of the stuff, you know, penalties, mistakes, not being able to get it done in overtime, missing field goals, all those things that we've, like you said, that we saw for so many years. And that's troubling and that's frustrating, but it feels like they're going to get over that stuff eventually. It feels like Rule is going to fix that stuff eventually. But really troubling to me, and I think to a lot of Husker fans, is how pedestrian the defense looked. And how, like you said, we haven't, other than Michigan last year, we haven't really seen that. The defense has been the one thing we could count on. So do we, and I think also piggybacking that on, there were some people said there were warning signs after Northern Iowa, but hey, we only gave up 3 points. Let's not overdo it. Kind of 2 weeks in a row where it's like, is something going on with this defense? Are they not as good as we thought? I mean, are there bigger picture implications here when it comes to expectations for Nebraska's season?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people had openly said, hey, you know, Nebraska is going to be 7-0 when you go to Ohio State, and that's going to be a top 10 matchup. Like, that was the heights to which people were starting to imagine what this team could be. So I think it brings it down to earth a little bit. And it just reminds you that you don't go from 5-7 to 10 wins and a CFP, you know, contending sort of team overnight. Like, there's going to be ups and downs. I thought what Matt Rhule said on Monday was good about, you know, this is a year two sort of thing. Like, that's when you do, when the culture has been established. Maybe you have your players starting to come into place. You play well, but you're still going to have sort of these backslides or these regressions or these hiccups and these moments when it just doesn't, it's not as consistent. It doesn't sustain. And so I think that's kind of what they endured. But yeah, I mean, the surprise to me was that it was the defense that was the culprit. I mean, you look at offensively, and they said it today here on Tuesday, they said it after the game, like, if the offense scores 24 points, that should be good enough for what Nebraska's defense thinks that it can be. And so, like, special teams has been a problem child, and that's still sort of the situation. I thought the offense looked better. They're still figuring out the run game. It remains to be seen how consistently they can move the ball on the ground when they're not relying on the quarterback run game. But yeah, I mean, it kind of felt like those areas would be figured out while the defense did what it has been doing. And I think it's been fascinating hearing players and Tony White kind of process it these last few days. I mean, John Bullock, the linebacker on Saturday, was like, yeah, there were these moments where we kind of freaked out a little bit because we weren't getting the results that we're used to getting. And, you know, and like today here on Tuesday, guys were pissed, quite honestly. I mean, Isaac Gifford gets up there and he's just irked. You can tell he's bugged. He's given short answers. MJ Sherman comes up there and he's like, we got punched and we didn't have our hands up and we need to do that next time. And so, like, I think they took it personally in a lot of ways, just because it was so shocking from what they have. And so, like, this is a moment where you see what Nebraska is made of. Like, is this the start of a tailspin where we've seen it in past years, where one tough loss turns into two, turns into three? Or is this a moment, say, like the Nebraska volleyball team put up, where they have a surprising loss and they come back and they just dominate and they show who they are? Like, I think that's the message that this team's going to have a chance to tell one way or the other this next weekend.
I try and keep it a little bit more positive, TJ. I know it's ruining your week. Everything's going to be fine. I think if we just look at it from last year to this year.
I'm sorry I care, Jeff.
Sorry for
Sorry,
caring.
go ahead.
I'm
Go
just
ahead.
trying. I'm just trying to put a, you know, a positive spin on this thing. I mean, it's
It's
early
all
in the
sunshine
season.
and rainbows, isn't it, Jeff?
We have one loss. I mean, we have one loss, and it was to a top 25 team. It's early in the season, first conference team, and you know, hopefully it's, you know, we're not going to go undefeated the rest of the way, I doubt, but it's one loss. It's early. We're 3-1. We would have killed for this last year. Let's calm down and just chill out a little bit. What do you think about that?
I'm hoping it turns out to be like what happened after the Michigan game last year. You know, they come back from Michigan and they're all just getting chewed out, and then they came back and didn't they win three straight after that last year after the
Yes,
Michigan game?
Illinois,
yeah, that
starting with
was
Illinois,
definitely
So
a turning point.
I'm hoping that that's the case. And you know what? I thought about this too. Like this th what's coming up here in the season is exciting to me because Tony White, Matt Rhule, these guys make more money than we'll probably ever make in our lives. And they're paid to adjust and be football coaches, right? Something's not working. That's when the good coaches show up. You adjust something here, you tinker something there, and that's the fun part for me. It's going to be really exciting to see I think how that defense looks on Saturday. You know, we're talking about how pissed off they are, and they know they need to make some changes. Now it's going to be fun to see what they do.
Do you guys think like the Dylan Raiola effect impacts how you view this game? Because I heard it's from some players and coaches this week. Tony White said, "Hey, look, you know, this freshman quarterback's balling out. We need to do our part on the defense." I think I get this sense, and you guys tell me if you agree, like that there's more intensity to this season because Nebraska feels like it has a dude at quarterback, and you don't want to waste that opportunity when you have that guy in place. It seems like there's maybe less patience or more angst when those other areas don't live up to their end of the bargain.
Yeah,
I
I
think
mean,
so.
100%. I talk to people at work all the time that say, like, just this last week, he played for the most part a great freaking game. And when you compare it with our O-line not being able to, you know, open up holes for the running game, or running backs not being able to get loose in space, or our line not being able to protect him, I think it also frustrates fans because I, knock on wood, I don't want this dude to get hurt. You know what I mean? He had to run for his life, and that makes me nervous. I think that's what I think gets a lot of people upset, is they're like, Dylan can't do everything on every single play, and I think that does add a little bit more angst or impatience that people think the rest of the team needs to up their game to help this dude because he can't do it all by himself.
And I think you're right, but I think maybe what Evan's getting more at is like we have a short window,
Yeah.
right, to take advantage of well, this guy's here, and we've got an older defense who's got experience, and they had a really great year last year. And I think the combination of those two things, having this experienced defense who we thought was going to be a top 15 defense, and they might still do that, right? We've got 8 games left this season. So I think the combination of those two things, hey, we've got this guy who might already be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in college football as a true freshman, and we've got this experienced defense, the window's short. So we want to take advantage of it, I think, this year. I think there's something to that, Evan.
Yeah, it's kind of why I think it's another. It speaks to why the loss was so frustrating too, I think, because the offense is so much better this year. Raiola made some. We talked about it on the last pod. Raiola made some incredible throws, led some incredible drives. You know, that one right before halftime, the touchdown drive right before halftime. Like he is balling out and playing so well. And even with the mistakes, even with all the same old stuff, we still went to overtime. We were still in a position to win that game. So that's why it was super frustrating. I did have the thought, I wonder if we'll have some games this year where the offense has to win us a game or two. Which, you know, I don't know, need whatever, but just not something we expected coming into this season, you know.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that we want to get into too many shootouts, but you know.
Well, didn't we say all of last season and the beginning of over the summer and the beginning of this season, if we had just an average offense with that defense, we're going to be great. And now we're now already as Husker fans, we're starting to backpedal on that. Like, I think that's the
torch. The defense doesn't look the same, at least if you go by the Illinois game. That's the
Doesn't that just suck? Like, that's just the way our lives are, that we always have to backpedal on everything we thought was true. Like,
I know. That's why I think that's why I've been, it's been gnawing at me all week. But, and again, we're not going to panic here. No. We're not going to overdo it, but it sort of throws into question. You thought you could for sure count on this defense, and how good can the offense be? And now it's sort of like, can we even count on that?
Yeah.
Does truth even exist?
So it's a moving target. Like, you're trying to do that experiment where you have like the fixed variable, right? Like, in the defense was supposed to be the fixed variable, and now it's moving around, and like, how can you assess? It's tough.
Yeah. It's like in Wedding Crashers. I'm not just picking on love. I'm not sure friendship exists either. That's how it feels. That's how it feels right now.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. I mean, people are processing it in real time. And, you know, I think that's a game that people chalked up as a win. But it's also a game that people didn't think would be a top 25 game in August. So there's a lot of kind of reassessing going on. And like, and Illinois was the first example of that, right? Like, how we view Indiana is different than we did in August. UCLA, USC, I think, is different than we viewed them in August. So like, a lot of this stuff is like fluid, and it's still, you know, that's what the early part of the season is about, is like seeing what you have. And now we're getting to that part of the year where we kind of know, at least generally, what every team is about. And then it just becomes about like, okay, who can execute better on a given week? Like, that's kind of the territory that we're coming into now. So like, Nebraska hasn't played a perfect game. They haven't played anything close to a perfect game. So I think that's the thing that's driving them, is like, and that's the message that Matt Rhule gave this week, was like, hey, look at all these areas that we came up short. Four personal foul penalties on defense, you know, had some critical misses. Overtime was a disaster. And yet we were one play away from winning the game against a ranked team. So like, and you contrast that with Purdue. If you listen to like some of the comments that they're making the last couple of days, I mean, they got blown out by Notre Dame and Oregon State in consecutive weeks. They're changing some of their schemes. They're changing some of their personnel. And you can tell, like, they're searching. And so Nebraska's not searching. Nebraska's pissed because they know what they wanted to do and they fell short of it in a tight situation. So, like, I think that's a good place to be. But this is a really interesting game at 11 a.m. on a Saturday on Peacock. Like, when you got to do it on your own. Like, this is a really good game for Nebraska to show what it's made of.
Yeah. I want to get to Purdue in a minute. What did you think about the trick play with Heinrich Harburg?
I think Nebraska wants to get him on the field more, and they felt good. I mean, Marcus Satterfield said here this week that they felt really comfortable with that double pass. That was the same play they ran, incidentally, at Minnesota last year.
Yep.
That worked out for them. So I think they want to get him on the field, and I think they'll get him on the field more against a Purdue team that has really struggled with mobile quarterbacks. I mean, the last 2 weeks, the mobile quarterbacks have just run wild on them. So what an opportunity maybe to bust out some wildcat or, you know, direct snaps, or have Harburg out there even as a decoy. So we'll see, but I do think they are trying to make a conscious effort of getting him the ball more. And I think when you talk about the offense in general, the coaches have said, man, these first three games, we were able to really spread the ball around. A lot of receivers got involved. Three, four running backs got involved. And then you get into Big Ten play and you don't get as many snaps, and every play means a little bit more. And so I think they're still also in the process of kind of figuring out, okay, we like all these guys, but how do we fit them into a game plan? How do we distribute these touches in a way that gives everyone a chance, but also gives Nebraska the best chance to win?
That's what I wonder. I mean, I'm glad that play worked for like 12 yards or whatever. That was fine. It was great. It was almost a disaster.
That's what I wanted to say, is the risk reward. I like a good trick play, don't get me wrong. And I like that they get Harburg in there, but I felt like the risk reward on that play, the risk far outweighed the amount of effort they had to put into that to get 10 yards. You know what I mean? Like, that was for a touchdown, that's a different story. But to get 10 yards, that just seemed like a really, really huge gamble.
Dylan does this all the time. What's the big deal? That's to your point, Evan. I wonder if we'll I wonder if we'll see him come in and get under center and lead a series or a drive, or you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I've been wondering is, are they going to throw that, you know, option that no one has prepared for all week? Are they going to throw that in there? But it's kind of to your point about limited number of snaps. Like, when do you pull that trigger? When do you decide that's a good idea? Do you want to sit down your five-star all-world quarterback? There's probably a lot more that goes into that than common fans tend to think about.
Exactly. Like, I mean, you laid it out. Like, it sounds good, but do you want to take Raiola out of the game? Right. If you're ever going to, like, just based on matchups and what the opponents struggled with, like, this would be the game to do it. So it feels like an opportunity for Harburg to show what he can do. If not now, then we'll probably, my hunch would be that means we'll see him in just maybe kind of occasional packages the way that we have, you know, catching a little pass or direct snap or, you know, whatever it might be. So we'll see. I think they feel like he's an asset that they haven't been able to use as much as they want. And if the opportunity presents itself, I think you'll see him maybe in some meaningful moments on Saturday.
Yep. That'll be interesting. Yep. Are you, what's your plan to get up to West Lafayette? When do you leave? Do you leave Friday? Do you leave Saturday? You're going to have to leave Friday, I guess. But what's the, or do you leave that? Do you leave, you go midweek?
Yeah, I leave early Friday morning. It's like a 9-hour drive. I live in Lincoln. So Sam and I and our photographer Nico are going to drive up, and it's a haul, man. It's in Eastern time as well. So we got to kind of creep over there into Indiana, and there's no great way to do it. You can go south to St. Joe, Missouri, and go over. You can take I-80 and kind of get down that way. I know some people will fly, but it's really not all that much easier either. I mean, you can go to Chicago and drive 3 hours from there, or you could fly to Indianapolis. So, like, it's a hard place to get to, right up there with Penn State, among kind of the harder Big Ten venues to reach. I will say we are actually staying in West Lafayette this year. I've never done that in like four previous trips to Purdue because the hotels are so limited. But when the schedule came out a year ago, I got a wild hair and booked a room right away. And so we're going to check it out. But, you know, it's nice. A college town. It kind of reminds me of Ames for people that remember the old Big 12 days, isn't the worst thing in the world. But, no. It's definitely one of the smaller communities.
I'm envisioning like an airport hotel shuttle with the World Herald logo on the side of it, you know, and like I'm envisioning you driving, Sam's on the laptop, and you know the poor photographer probably isn't allowed to speak.
You know? Quiet down back there.
What's for lunch? Quiet down.
Yeah,
pipe down. No,
I have to go to the bathroom, please. I have to go to the bathroom.
Sam's like, don't stop, Evan. Don't stop.
we have some stories, man. I think this must have been Purdue 2 years ago. We were coming back. We had stayed like 3 hours away or something it might have been Peoria. I don't remember exactly, but we were leaving late. And you know how, like, when you drive sometimes and your GPS takes you on what it perceives to be the fastest route, but it's like fastest by a minute and it takes you on all these really small side roads?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's what happened. And it was Sam, and we actually had a couple of our Journal Star comrades with us, Luke Mullen and Amy Just. And we were driving late, and it was on this side road in the middle of nowhere, Indiana, in the middle of the night. And like the road, it wasn't even a two-lane road. It was like a lane and a half. Like, if someone had come the other way, I don't know. I mean, someone would have had to go off the road. But there was a moment where we're going, you know, 60 or whatever, and there's this set of train tracks that was right there, comes out of nowhere. I'm driving. I'm pretty sure we got air on the vehicle. And Sam was in the back. He was like half asleep. Had his laptop on him. The laptop goes flying. He wakes up. Everyone's, you know, startled awake at that point. I'm like, It came out of nowhere, that railroad track. I don't know what happened. I'm blaming the GPS. So my lesson learned from that is I don't care if it's 5 more minutes. I'm taking the main road out of there whenever possible. It's a winding road. Don't let it trick you if you're going.
Yeah, take the freeways, highways, and interstates.
Absolutely.
The good old U.S. highway system.
You answered a question I was thinking, like on those road trips when I travel for work with coworkers, there's always that one person that's like the napper on the road trip that always has to nap it out. And I was, it sounds like Sam's that guy. And I always think, or is it you?
No, I can't nap on the road. I can't do it. It was late. He's usually not. He's usually working. Sundays, especially, like when we come back, we take turns. One of us is riding, the other one's driving. In this case, our photographer probably can do some driving, and Sam and I can both do
Yeah.
some writing. That'll be kind of the idea, because you don't want to get back and then have to write when you get back. You want to try to
Yeah.
be
Right.
efficient
Yeah, you
on
guys are
the
working. I just think it's funny, like when you drive and it's like an extended trip like that. Happy to drive. Hey, I'll drive 9 hours. You just sleep comfortably over there and just enjoy the trip.
ride.
Yeah, we usually don't roll like that too much. Try to pick a local food spot on the way out and back if we can. We've had some hits, we've had some definite misses. But that's all, that's all part of it.
Well, this topic kind of leads to an idea that I had, Evan, that we've kind of talked about a little bit. But for me, I love seeing other teams' stadiums and game day atmospheres, and obviously comparing it to, what we have at Nebraska, as unfair as that may seem. So making the trip to Purdue, to West Lafayette, or any of these other Big Ten stadiums, I'm just curious, and maybe we can make this an ongoing thing, but do you have any insights onto Ross Ade Stadium or West Lafayette, or any recommendations or a cool place to hang out for any Common fans that may make the trip this weekend or anytime moving forward to West Lafayette?
My experience with West Lafayette until this year now has always been stay an hour or two outside of the town, come in for the game, and then start back afterwards. So it's probably as about as limited of an experience I have just being in the community. But Ross Ade is an experience. Like it's the press box is one of the few in the Big Ten where it actually separates the media from both sides. So we never see the Purdue media when we're there. Like you get off an elevator, visiting media goes to the right, home media is on the left. One of the quirks of the media experience going to Purdue is you park at a golf course that's like half a mile away, maybe, and they Purdue will come up with golf carts and you hop onto the back of the golf carts. And they take you to the game, which is cool. And then afterwards, though, and sometimes it's really cold. And so sometimes there have been games that end, and we do what we got to do, and we're going back out, and it's dark, and it's sub-freezing temperatures, and we're sitting on the back of this thing, huddled up, and just waiting
Wow.
it out just to get to our car. So that's part of the experience. And I've had a few run-ins with Purdue Pete, who, for my money, is the creepiest mascot in college football. There was a post game, I think it was 2017, when Nebraska came back and won by a point. We were waiting for post game interviews, and Purdue Pete was right behind me while we were waiting. I turned around and I saw those black soulless eyes,
Devil's eyes.
trying to hypnotize me, and it like legitimately startled me. I'm like, dude,
Yeah,
Purdue Pete's a creeper. But that'd be some of it. The experience is cool. I mean, it's kind of a throwback stadium. It's real grass. They have the whole train that comes out, and their entrance is kind of cool through steam, like a Boilermaker. So it's a trip that you probably got to make and check it out. But it's fun. I wouldn't call it one of the best Big Ten atmospheres for football. For basketball, it probably is. But
oh, for
for
sure.
football, it's decent.
Good to know.
Well,
I kind of want to go to ever do every try to do every single Big Ten stadium. I haven't done very many, but
where
it's
have you
something
guys
that's
been?
on.
We're gonna get that. We're gonna do that with the Common Fans at some point, Mattio. Don't worry.
Yes,
There's the
I've
you know
done
the
Iowa, and I've had Iowa and Wisconsin, I think, are the only two Big Ten
Okay.
schools I've been to.
I have I've
Madison's great.
been I went to an Iowa game in college before when we were not playing them, and like it was just I just went with some friends, so I don't know if that counts. I've been to Madison more than once. And then, is that it? Who am I missing? That might be it for me. Geoff?
I've never been to a road game. I've been to Notre Dame and USC in night or in 2017. That was pretty awesome.
Nice. I don't think anybody cares,
It was
honestly.
great. It was fun.
No, nobody
No,
cares.
that's pretty good. That is pretty cool.
Rivalry game. Irish won, beat the shit out of him. It was great. Partied with Mike Golic and Mike Golic's son. It was awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the football part of it and pivoting away from Geoff talking about Notre Dame, Boilermakers come in at 1-2 after going 4-8 last season. They do not appear, by anyone's metrics, to be a very good team this year, Evan, but common fans could be forgiven by for you know being a little bit nervous about this one and just seeing how the Huskers bounce back. What kind of a test will be awaiting the Huskers in beautiful Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette?
I mean, it's a team that's searching for sure. I mean, I mentioned the blowout losses to Notre Dame and Oregon State. Their defense has struggled in a lot of respects. I think their offense, Husker fans will remember Devin Mockabee, the running back. He's still there. He had a, I think, 168-yard game last week, so he's still a focal point of what they do. Hudson Card's the quarterback. He's the guy who once upon a time was in a battle with Casey Thompson at Texas to try to be that that starter out there. One thing, here are a couple of fun facts about Purdue. One is that something they have in common with Alabama is that they have not attempted a field goal this year. So it just hasn't happened through the three games for them. And they are one of, I think, two or three teams in the country that have yet to force a takeaway.
Oh,
So
wow.
they don't have any. They don't have any from a guy in Ryan Walters who, you know, is a defensive-minded guy. So you couple that with some of the struggles that they've had offensively, and it's a rough start. And he's a first-time head coach, second year. I mean, he's late 30s. So, you know, they took a chance on someone who was less experienced, and he may yet figure it out, but it just hasn't necessarily happened yet. So Purdue's always one of those teams, though, that's given Nebraska fits in the last 8 years or so. You know, they're good with misdirection. If they want to hit hard, they can do that. The defense tends to be just good enough to keep them competitive. So, you know, Nebraska players will say it every week, but I think it's especially true this week. It's about Nebraska. And like, if Nebraska does what it wants to do, it should be fine. And if it doesn't, then it might be close, it might be tense, and Purdue might have something to say about it. But I think Nebraska's clearly the better team, in my opinion. They have more of an identity at this point, both second year head coaches. But we'll see. You never know. When they go on the road, it's the first road game for Riola, you know, first road game for Nebraska this year. So there's some uncertainty to it. But it is one Nebraska you would think should win, and the point spread would back that up.
And I will
Go
say,
ahead, Jeff.
the one thing, and I'm not trying to bring up Notre Dame to be funny this time. The one thing I noticed about that game when Notre Dame hung 66 on him is that Riley Leonard has not thrown a touchdown pass up until last week when they played, who's their last opponent? Miami of Ohio. He didn't throw one touchdown pass in that entire Purdue game, which means their touchdowns were relegated to running, the quarterback running, and defensive turnovers and pick sixes. So this really is a time for our running game to shine and our defense to shine big time to put points on the board. So if there's any time for us to have a bounce back on the areas of the game that Nebraska struggled with this last week, this would be the game to do it, I feel.
It sure seems like a get right game for our running game, especially because Purdue gave up a ton of yards to Oregon State. They gave up a ton of yards on the ground to Notre Dame. So hopefully we can run the ball on Saturday.
Purdue is one of those teams, like that, to your point, Evan, we've had some mind-boggling losses to them that are just infuriating. We Evan, you don't have to partake in this, but we like to talk on this program about second-rate programs, programs that
Been a while.
are not as good as Nebraska, never will be as good as Nebraska. I mean, Purdue is a second-rate football program. Everybody knows that. It's really not up for debate. And it's so aggravating that we would ever lose to them. Three that come to mind are 2015, the Mike Riley era. That season was just kind of a mess, but they mostly fought, and the games they did lose were really close, and they went to Purdue, and it was just a total dud. They kind of just didn't show up that day. I think we lost by about 10. And then 2019 at Purdue, I think we had the lead in the fourth quarter two or three times, and then the defense couldn't stop their offense. And then 2021 was another one. We lost like 28-23 or something in 2021. So those are, I mean, they had a few good teams under Jeff Brohm. Like Frost's first team was not ready for them in 2018. Like there were a few games like we probably just shouldn't have won. 2022, Trey Palmer went off, but still lost that one. But anyway, just infuriating. And you guys mentioned how bad their run defense is. It's interesting on the offensive side of the ball for them, just in doing the tiniest bit of research that, like a common fan, Graham Harrell is their offensive coordinator. He comes from the Mike Leach
air raid
coaching tree. But they ran for, I want to say, I can't remember which, Notre Dame, they didn't do much of anything, but the other two games, including Oregon State, they ran for 250-ish yards, both mm-hmm. games. So it just kind of, and Hudson Card has looked pretty, I guess pretty average in the Notre Dame and Oregon State games. So anyway, I'm not sure what to expect. I'd like to think if we can, slow down their run game and make Card try to beat us, I think that's going to work out pretty well for us. I don't know. What do you think, Evan?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I was putting together some research today. I mean, on a per carry basis, Purdue's like a top 10 rushing team. But when you look at attempts per game, they're like 117th out of 130 FBS teams. So it tells you that when they pick their spots to run, it's tended to be effective. And part of the reason they haven't is because they've fallen behind and game situation has them trying to play catch up. So they haven't done that a ton. But like that's the game plan for Nebraska. And Purdue, conversely, like Ryan Walters said this week, yeah, we have no takeaways right now defensively. And a lot of that's because our opponents have been able to play from ahead and be conservative. And it's just snowballed on Purdue. So I think that's one of the keys that you watch for on Saturday is like getting off to a hot start. I mean, if you're in Nebraska and you can go up 10-0, 14-0 early on a Saturday against a team that's been boat raced the last 2 weeks, and then you don't have to push the envelope offensively, and you can really make Purdue one-dimensional with its offense, like that's a recipe to me for Nebraska making this a two or three quarter game. If that's not the case, if Purdue scores early and puts some doubt in Nebraska and the black shirts are looking at each other a little bit, then I think it could get a little weird, a little tense on Saturday afternoon in Indiana. But like, it sounds obvious to say like start fast, but I think just given what Purdue's experience has been these last couple of weeks and how it has shown already that it can become one dimensional, it would behoove Nebraska to score early. And I think that's probably its quickest and easiest path to victory.
Yeah. Evan, the whole coaching staff has talked about this, but Coach Rhule talked about wanting to have a downhill running game. And he said in the press conference this week, Illinois, they thought was going to be a game where we gave it to Dante Dowdell 25 times and just pounded the rock. And they talk about wanting to be a team that wears teams down in the fourth quarter. And, Satterfield talked about that again, I think today, if I'm not mistaken. But then you look at, they had 102 sack adjusted rushing yards against Illinois. I'll be honest with you, even in when we were flying high in those first three games and they would talk about that, I was super excited with how they were playing, but I would kind of be like, I'm not sure they're doing that with the downhill run game. I mean, they're committing to the run, but this isn't, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't always look like that. So I'm just curious, like, what's your take on that? Like, do you feel like Satterfield maybe wants to commit to the run, but then abandons it? Or do you think, I believe they mean it, but it feels like we've heard this a lot for a long time at Nebraska. And then we get big brained offensive coordinators who want to scheme up a bunch of stuff and then they move away from it really quickly.
Yeah. I think in his heart, Satterfield's a sling it kind of a guy. I think that's what he would prefer to do. He had some good thoughts today about it, about how, running the ball is sort of a means to an end. I mean, that if Nebraska's winning games the way that it wants to win them, it's a body blow sort of offense where you get to the fourth quarter and you've maybe worn your opponent down. Matt Rhule always lays the benchmark of let's get 75 rushing yards in the fourth quarter. If we can hit that threshold, we feel pretty good about it. And it's that idea of pounding the rock. Everyone thinks about that as what you do when you run the ball. But what Nebraska means for that is like that idea that you keep pounding the rock, you pound a rock, and eventually it's going to break. It might not break on the second or the third hit. It might break on the 38th hit. But that's kind of the idea that they're trying to go for is like, let's wear them down. We're going to be the tougher team. We're going to be more physical, and we're going to win it late. Didn't happen this time, and Nebraska's figuring things out. I mean, they're still figuring out their running back rotation. Matt Rhule expressed some regret about not getting Emmett Johnson to carry against Illinois. Now they have to figure out their offensive line with Turner Corcoran out for an extended period. So you're down your first two left tackles, and you have to decide, do you want to go Gunnar Gatula, who's a redshirt freshman who looked pretty good in spot duty? Or do you rotate some guys around? You could move Micah Mazzucca to the outside. They have another number two guard, Tyler Kanak, who could move outside as well. Henry Lutusky's played outside. So they have some decisions to make just in terms of the personnel and how they want to do it. But we'll see. Like you guys have said, Purdue's not a good run defense. This should be a game where they can build up some confidence, figure out some things that they want to do. I'm curious for you guys, though. So Nebraska finished with 48 rushing yards against Illinois. That's the lowest rushing output that they've had in a game since 2018 Michigan, which nobody wants to remember.
No.
That was the low point, one of the low points of the Frost era. So like, do you guys care how much they run it? As long are you like, do you guys side on this idea that, hey, as long as they win, if they pass it 50 times, so be it? Or do you guys feel like, yeah, they need to run the ball some? It matters how they win some of these games.
I don't care how they win, but I, in my opinion, winning regularly, consistently winning football teams run the ball well. Does that make sense? That came out weird.
Yeah.
I think you've got to run the ball well consistently. At least have it there as a threat. I mean, TJ mentioned Mike Leach and Graham Harrell, going back to Texas. Even Texas Tech ran the ball fairly well at times. It's just like they were throwing more to set up the run. Like you still have to run the ball. But I'm not one of those run the damn ball. We should be running triple option guys anymore. Like, it was fun to talk about back in when Callahan took over, but it's still like I don't care how we win, but I know that running the ball is important, if that makes any sense. It's a very non-answer in an election year, Evan.
Run it, pass it, whatever you got to do to win the game.
But run the ball.
The threat, Owens, you mentioned the threat of running the ball. It at least that can open up the passing game too. I felt like in the Illinois game, the threat of running the ball completely went away. And so that got them to change up their whole defensive scheme that they're like, well, they're not running this thing. So we can just rush the shit out of Dylan Raiola here. And we saw it in overtime. They were on him every freaking play where we were on the wrong side of the 50-yard line. So it'd be nice to at least have the threat of it. So again, with Owens there, I don't care if you pass or run to win, but I think you just need to have a little bit of both in your game plan.
I mean, part of that total, Evan, is what did Royal have? Negative 54 rushing yards after getting sacked several times, right? But like, I think what's frustrating is, and I believe, Riley said he always wanted to be what, top three in the Big Ten in rushing. I mean, I believe all these coaches when they say this stuff, but it kind of comes down to an identity, I feel like, and a culture. And, it doesn't feel like we are consistently that team that when we need 2 yards and we know we're going to run it, and the other team knows we're going to run it, and everybody in the stadium knows we're going to run it, and we run it and get it. Like, we're not the team that then we're going to run it anyways, and we're going to do it and we get it, right? We have not been that team consistently. And in my
For
opinion,
years.
for years, and we haven't been that team that once we get to the fourth quarter, whether we're milking a lead or I guess it'd just be milking a lead, right? Or it's a, like on, you know, they actually did take 5 minutes off the clock at the end of the, you know, game on, that was a pretty good drive in the fourth quarter with a good mix of passing and running. But like, we just haven't been that team that, I mean, how many times in the Frost era did we did have a lead and all we needed to do, maybe not a minute left, maybe 3 or 4 minutes left. And all we had to do was get one or two more first downs and we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have not been that team, and it doesn't, I think Rhule, he's definitely, his team is more physical. He's definitely preaches that more as part of the team's identity. But I'm totally going by the eye test here. I'm not going by any data or stats, but I don't feel like we're that team yet. Again, and look, if we had won the game on Saturday or on Friday night, then I think we're all saying, no, it doesn't matter to us. Doesn't, like, Dylan Raiola is for the Heisman. Let's go. You know, so I think people don't really care, but I just think you get into those situations when you have to run the ball and you can't do it. And that's really frustrating for Nebraska fans in particular.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mattio, go ahead.
Well, no, I just going to say, like, especially when you have a good quarterback and a young quarterback, you got to run the ball to do play action too, right? Like, the play action pass is one of the greatest plays ever invented, right? The threat
as Illinois displayed repeatedly on Friday.
Absolutely,
night.
That we had no answer for. So I had more there, but it's gone. So we might as well move on.
I almost remembered something else, but it's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone.
That Wayne's World
that was,
2.
that was beautiful, Mattio.
Thank you.
Well,
I know what I was going to say.
Yeah,
I think you're onto something there with running the ball, especially when you need 2 yards. And you, like you said, we know we're running it. They know we're running it. The whole stadium knows we're running it. We still get it. I think a lot of that is culture and mentality, which I think is starting to get there. And a lot of it's the dudes. Like, you know, you've got to have some serious mauling road grader guys that are just going to maul people to get 3 yards. And we've had decent O-linemen, but we haven't had, like, full-on dudes. So I'm just going to say, they've been great guys, work hard, solid players, a lot of experience. But I don't know if that's their specialty to just go pound right at somebody and get those 2-3 yards.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's interesting, Mattio. Do you think it's a personnel issue, Evan?
It's hard to say. I mean, maybe. I mean, a lot of the linemen that are there have been there for a long time. You would think that they could make it work with Bryce Benhartz and the Ben Scotts and Micah Mazuka, who's been a starter at, you know, Baylor and Florida previously. Like, they have guys who you would think could handle it. Some of it might just be the running back side as well, and just the lack of that one guy to step forward. You know, you look around the Big Ten, and half the league has a guy. I mean, Ohio State has a guy. Rutgers has a guy. Purdue has a guy. Nebraska hasn't had a guy in a while. And yeah, the depth can be helpful, and you can kind of play skill sets and matchups, and the depth could be, you know, good in November for in terms of injuries and whatnot. But, you know, it's hard to replace the guy when you have Amir and when you have Roy Helu or Rex Burkhead. Like, there's just something about those guys that they make more out of less. And, you know, if you need 2 yards, they're going to get you 2.5 or whatever. It's just, it's been a while since Nebraska's had that guy. So, you know, maybe that guy's on the way. I know they like their recruiting class coming in next year. They have a couple pretty promising prospects in that regard. But we'll see. And this is the kind of year, or this is the time of year when, like, the plan that you have, you put it to the test. Like, it sounds good. I'm going to run the ball, but what do you do on 3rd and 3 in a tie game in the fourth quarter? Like, that's different. Suddenly your theology goes out the window and it becomes what do I feel like I can do to win this game right now? And when those things match up, then you've got something going on. And when they don't, you're just kind of figuring that out as you go. And maybe the identity piece is a little harder to find.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who picks the music on the drive to Purdue?
Whoever's driving tends to have control of that. Honestly, we're kind of boring. We listen to a lot of coach interviews. We'll do some podcasts. Like, we catch up on some stuff. But yeah, I'll put on some classic rock. I think that's kind of my go-to if, you know, if we're relaxing or that sort of thing.
Well, I know. I mean, we only started in October of last year, first road game of this year, but this is your chance to, listen to a
Really, I really don't have the Common Fan
nine
podcast.
hours of Common Fan
Yeah,
podcast.
absolutely. I get
Yeah.
totally caught up. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%.
Or, I
Yep.
mean, you were part of the Reckoning series. If you didn't get to listen to all of those episodes, you could do that. You know
And
what I'm saying?
there's some real good early stuff, really raw. You could really sense the raw talent. You'd be like, these guys might have something.
Yeah.
Like a great show before it
Like
finds its
underground
voice
stuff.
and
Yeah,
works. Like
exactly.
there may or may not be a Christmas episode out there. We were all imbibing during the podcast.
We're doing that again,
I've
by the
been told
way.
it was very
Yeah.
entertaining for the 38 people that listened to it.
Yeah, that's right. And the Thanksgiving one was fantastic too.
I
I'm
love it.
fond of only our second or third episode ever. We did like an hour and a half or maybe hour 45. We made it two episodes, but we did a mid-season review because we started in October, so our like second or third episode was in the middle of the season. I'm really proud of that one. I want to go back and listen to it. That was we got into some good stuff on that one. I'm
Oh
talking
yeah.
about Burt Bielema setting fake Memorial Stadium on fire and all kinds of fun stuff on that one.
Good
So
old
anyway,
Bert.
wow, let's just talk about our own show and ourselves more while on the show. But anyway, Evan, this
TJ,
is your
favorite
chance.
color, go.
All righty. Matt, Jeff, any final thoughts or questions for Evan?
I do have a final thought.
Go
I
ahead,
have a
Jeff.
final thought here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I knew you would.
I always do. I always do.
I believe
Evan,
you.
you heard me talk about the 7-minute mile I ran in high school. It was an amazing athletic feat accomplished by an incredibly unathletic person.
Yeah, it
So,
was contested, but yes, I remember
yeah, it
hearing
was contested.
that.
But
Still contested. Still contested.
I want to show you this here. I want to show you this. You guys see this here? You see that? See that?
A shoe? No,
That's
it's a.
a running shoe. It's a running shoe. Got him for my birthday. So I'm bringing it back.
Ah.
I'm gonna start running. I'm gonna start training, and Ashley's gonna videotape me. And I'm gonna run a 7-minute mile. I'm gonna
Oh my
put this on
God.
tape, and I'm gonna have documented proof. You take that, TJ. You take
Now
that to the
you hold
bank.
on. This
You,
should be on pay-per-view.
yeah, no, she filmed the whole thing, and we'll put it on the Common Fan YouTube page.
Oh, it's
Like
happening.
1,000%.
It's
We're
happening,
putting that
Evan.
on
I
the
just
Common
want you
Fan
to
YouTube
see
page.
this as proof.
Okay, yeah.
Document this. This is
Running a
happening.
7-minute mile and putting that live, I mean, that's fantastic podcast material right there.
Absolutely.
It's the heavy breathing and the pounding of pavement and
It's
I
happening.
think
Oh yeah.
Matt and I need to be there to kind of be the announcers for the
Yeah.
Sure.
Or
I feel
just
like
have a conversation.
we should be dressed like trainers with like each of us like throw a white towel around our neck.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good old
Breaking
pairing.
down the Wisconsin matchup in November, just like as you're running.
It's gonna be
There
like
you go.
the old Saturday Night Live John Belushi,
A little
little
chocolate
chocolate
donuts.
donuts. He's gonna
Yep.
Jeff's gonna be smoking a cig and eating chocolate donuts.
Yep.
Or when you inevitably quit, Jeff, we're just gonna pull the Royal Tenenbaums. He's taking off his shoes and one of
He's
his
taking
socks.
off his shoes. What happened out there,
Strange,
Bomber?
strange day here
What
in
happened out there,
Sheffield.
Langenberg?
Oh my gosh, I think we've derailed.
Yeah.
Evan, any final thoughts or questions for the common fans?
Just an early, I guess, bit of thankfulness for all of you that don't have to go to West Lafayette, which is a long trip. And so, like,
Wow.
enjoy, if you don't have Peacock, get Peacock or listen on the radio or go to a bar or, enjoy it. It's, people eat like the level of emotional, involvement or investment. I feel like it's different when you're watching it on TV as opposed to being there in person.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a chance for people to, enjoy more of their Saturdays, get some chores done, go to a watch party, have some fun, and like, enjoy it but not be stressed over it for a week. Maybe
I
go to
don't
a
think
pumpkin
that's
patch.
I don't think that's possible.
That's not TJ's DNA. I know
Maybe
that.
not. Maybe not.
But enjoy it, but enjoy not being in West Lafayette is what you're saying.
I mean, that's just how I tend to live every day. But yes, in this case, especially.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, another fantastic edition of View from the Bland Stands. Thank you so much, Evan Bland, for joining us. Thoroughly enjoyable conversation. Please drive safely to and from West Lafayette. Be
Yes.
careful. Enjoy the ride in the Omaha World Herald shuttle. And subscribe, Common Fans. Check out the website, www.commonfan.co. Go to cpbeef.com. Use the promo code CommonFan. Do all the things. Huskers off to West Lafayette, kickoff at 11 a.m. 11 a.m. Central on Saturday, on TV on Peacock. So everybody tune in. If you're going to be there, let us know, send some pics, whatever. We can't wait for the Huskers to get back on track. So let's go 1-0 this week.
Let's do it.
Huskers and Common fans go 1-0 this week. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.